Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Before you do that, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Now go. Free agent pitchers still available.
31-year-old Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
3.6 is his WAR.
That's great.
Okay, I'm going to give you the age and then the WAR after these guys, okay?
All right.
A personal favorite of mine, completely biased. I would love to see either the Giants or the A's pick him up. Gio Gonzalez is 33 years old. His WAR is but 2.0.
It's not bad.
Right.
These are not bad WARs, yeah.
Clay Buchholz, 34 years old. Had no idea he was that old. 1.9 WAR.
Gio and Clay both a little older than I expected.
Yeah, Gio in particular.
But, I mean, if we're talking Giants, those guys are all... I mean, Keuchel's might be your best starter if you signed him. Gonzalez and Buchholz are no worse than your third best. No worse.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gio in particular.
I think I like...
You like Buchholz better?
I don't know. There's 6 1/2 dozen of the other. I don't love either of them. But that's three guys who are, at worst, your third best starter if you sign them today as a Giant.
Right.
At worst.
Moving a little bit further down, we've got James Shields, 37 years old.
He's not good. You don't want him.
No, he's not big game James.
Big Bart's still out there.
Big Bart's out there. Edwin Jackson is still out there. Edwin Jackson.
That's not bad.
Yovani Gallardo, because I like to say salsa.
This comes from Bay Sports Fan. Giants need to deal guys like Melanson, Belt, Crawford, and Panic to get some top prospects. And that's, first of all, I agree. That's what I would have done. And I know those guys don't have a ton of value, but at a certain point, get what you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Brandon Crawford. He'd be the last one I'd trade. But I look at Brandon Belt, I look at Joe Panic, and yeah, they can both be good. Panic probably more often than Belt, I guess, I would say, although he has been down a couple years now.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are major leaguers. They're perfectly good. Are they really meaningful in terms of building a franchise from scratch almost again? No.
No.
Of course they aren't. Certainly, Melanson's brought you nothing, and maybe you don't get anything for him, but all he's doing now is clogging up space.
I think the best case scenario...
If you're going to lose with guys I've never heard of.
Yeah, I agree. I think the best case scenario for Farhan, although he would probably never really admit this, is that guys like Belt and Crawford and any of these guys that we're talking about as part of the championship core, if they can have a good first half, but the Giants still aren't necessarily contenders, then he can trade and maybe get some prospects. He's hoping, I think, that their value will increase a little bit with a good first half, and then go get what you can and cut your losses, and the rebuild continues. Only question is Bryce Harper there for it?
So here's the thing. Let's talk about Harper specifically, right? I mentioned earlier the Giants are probably need to gain about 20 wins to be a playoff team. Bryce Harper's WAR in 2018, which is, for people who don't know, WAR is wins above replacement, which is to say how many more wins you get with Bryce Harper versus
the average rate,
league average.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not even average. Replacement, which is like whoever you could find. His WAR last year was 1.3. Again, 1.3.
Not 21?
No. And it was a down year. He's always been a pretty average defender. Last year, he was a bad defender. So his offensive WAR was very similar to 2017, which is 4.2. Which is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, 20 wins is how many more they need. Now, it's possible that he has an effect on other guys, and his overall impact would probably be greater than his WAR. And you would hope he plays better defense than a minus 3.2 if he does come to the Giants. Because that, to me, that just reflects not I mean, he was bad in, on defense last
and
year.
And now he's got to master the most difficult right field in the bigs.
Right. But.
It's a lot of buts.
Let's say he plays his best defensive year, which was his rookie year, which was a 1.5 defensive war.
Play his butt off.
And let's say he has his best offensive year, which was 2015, which was a 9.1 offensive war. Hmm. Remarkable. So his best offensive year, which was 4 years ago, his best defensive year, which was 7 years ago. You add those together, it's worth 10 wins. And you need 20 to be a playoff team. I'm just making the point. You are a long way from that. Even if you sign Bryce Harper and get the best possible version of him, you're a long way from that. Probably further away than Bryce Harper and Dallas Keuchel. That being said, I'm not making an argument against signing Bryce Harper. Because you sign Bryce Harper for the next decade. And what's confusing to me, he is 26 years old. 26.
Don't you think, though, that
he
part of the holdup...
He doesn't turn 27 till the end of the season. That means if you sign Bryce Harper for 10 seasons, he won't... He'll barely turn 36 on your roster.
Right.
This is not Albert Pujols at 30.
But don't you think, Matt, that the reason this is taking so long is Harper and Scott Boras have that 10 years in mind? And this is where I think there's a possible soft collusion going on. I think teams are committed to not committing as many years as they have in the past. I think the day of the 10-year contract, I think that might be what baseball is trying to get away from, which is why I think Harper might end up getting a bigger annual salary than maybe even he anticipated, but far fewer years.
I think that is boneheaded.
Okay, why?
If I was a major league team, no matter who I was, well, okay, let me not, I shouldn't say no matter who I was. There are some teams, if you've got great old pitchers right now, maybe I would understand a short-term Harper deal. Here's the thing about Bryce Harper. I've got his stats in front of me right now. His first year, 2012, at 19 years old. God, he's good. First year, 270 average, 817 OPS, 22 homers, 659 RBIs.
How old again?
19.
Jeez.
Second year, 854 OPS, 274 average, and 20 homers, 58 RBIs. Next year, he was hurt. 2015 was his best year. 330 average, 1.109 OPS, 42 homers, 99 RBIs. Next year, down.
That's it. Wait, that was at 21 years old that season. 22?
He was hurt a little bit in his 21-year-old year. But again, at 23, 243 average. Still great, but he went from 330 average, 1,109 OPS to 243 average, 814 OPS. Then 2017, 319 average, 1.008 OPS. 2018, 249 average, 889 OPS. My point is, he's not a consistent player.
Right.
I want Bryce Harper for as long as I can get him. I feel like your odds of getting your money's worth are much better over a long-term deal with Bryce Harper than a short-term deal. And again, if he was 28, 29, 30, it's a different conversation. He will barely turn 36 on your roster if you give him a 10-year deal. These things are insured against injury. Is there somewhat of a gamble? Yes. But he's a hitter, an outfielder, which is generally one of the easier positions to play.
Mm-hmm.
And signing him through his age 35 year doesn't scare me at all if that's what it takes to get it done, especially if that allows you to pay a lower annual value. Because if you pay a little lower annual value than he was expecting now, by 2028, it's going to be a bargain.
Yeah.
So,
but don't you think...
Texter says never sign a player for more than 5 years. Why not? Now, pitching, I'd be very scared because so many more things can happen. But generally, you're insured against injury. And I don't see Bryce Harper becoming worthless, short of a major injury, before age 35.
Yeah, comparing,
if he does, it's a big upset.
And I've heard the comparison made a lot, and I'm glad you brought it up because it gives me an opportunity to just gun it down. Comparing a 10-year deal for Bryce Harper at this point to the Albert Pujols contract, that's not apples to apples. That's not apples to oranges. That's apples to dump trucks. You look at...
Weird comparison.
Look at Albert Pujols.
Yes.
Look how old he is. Look how... I mean, imagine that final season. How many more years does he have? Two, three?
I don't know, but he was 30 when he signed the contract. Yeah. That's the difference.
And so let's say at 39, based on what he's at now, he's going to be a zero. His WAR might be negative, even though he's Albert Pujols. It's painful to watch him at times now. It won't be painful to watch Bryce Harper at 35. So I get why you're saying that.
His first year with the Angels, he was 32, allegedly.
Oh. Allegedly. But I understand why you're saying that, and you make all sorts of great points. But don't you think that that thought might be out there in some front offices, though? Whether it's correct or not, or boneheaded or not, I think there are some front offices that think like that texter. I'm not giving any more 10-year deals. I'm not giving any more than a 6-year deal. I think that thought is out there, at least, however boneheaded it might be.
Yeah, I don't know that it's boneheaded. I think it's probably a good general rule, mm-hmm. but you make exceptions in certain situations.
For exceptional players.
And it's just very rare that a guy starts playing full major league seasons at age 19 and it is immediately an all-star, and you have a chance to sign him to a giant deal at age 25. It doesn't happen because of the way baseball does arbitration and years of service and all that stuff. So the circumstances are so rare. And especially if you're the Giants, why would I want Bryce Harper on a short-term deal? What am I doing in the next 3 years? I want him more from year 3 to 7 than I do in the first two.
Because you're assuming the youngsters, in air quotes, have developed into a passable rotation? I mean, because you're not going to have anything the first couple of years.
Because we just talked about how far they are from the playoffs right now and how Bryce Harper does not get them there.
Not even close.
Really not even close.
With this staff, right? I mean, it's going to take a wow signing for me to think that this rotation is anything close to a rotation that will have you in contention come August.
Right now, your choice for number 3 starter is between Derek Holland and Jeff Samardzija. I mean, I think that tells you everything you need to know.
Pretty much sums it up.
About the Giants starting pitching staff. And with that, we will move on to the Golden State Warriors. It is All-Star Weekend, and Anthony Slater mentioned it when we had him on earlier in the show. It's basically Curry Family Night in Charlotte tonight. I want to get into that a little bit next. Plus, Sam Amick of The Athletic will join us at 4 o'clock. I'm Matt Kolsky. He's Michael Urban. This is 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Kolsky and Urban.
We are back. I'm Matt Kolsky. He is Michael Urban. You want to join us? 888-957-9570 is the phone number. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. It is All-Star Weekend. The Golden State Warriors are off, but several of the Golden State Warriors stars are down in Charlotte. And, of course, Charlotte is the hometown of the one and only.
First name Stephen, last name Curry.
Yeah.
Came into my life, now everything is less blurry.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yes. He is essentially the mayor of All-Star Weekend. And tonight, the Curry-themed All-Star three-point shooting contest.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Steph and Seth, who, by the way, currently the Curry family leader in three-point shooting percentage, I believe.
The NBA leader in three-point shooting percentage.
Nobody cares about that. We're talking about the Curry family right now.
No, the mom.
Oh, Sonya might have the best percentage. But, okay, Anthony Slater gave us a hint that it seems a Del Curry cameo of some kind is in the offing.
Something special Curry.
And then, I don't know, maybe Sonya's involved as well. So I'm curious, what do people want to see from the Curry family tonight? Like, do we need, we just need a Steph and Seth final? Do you want Del Curry to jump in the actual three-point contest?
That'd be
cool. You know? I mean, he's only a year or two older than Dirk, I think.
I was just going to say, they're letting Dirk and Dwayne Wade play.
I don't think Dwayne Wade's in the three-point shootout, that's
for
sure.
Do not believe him to be.
But yeah, what is the right way for the Curry family to handle All-Star festivities tonight? And then here's the other thing. Obviously, here in Golden State, probably the two greatest three-point shooters in the history of NBA basketball.
Ridiculous!
Certainly the best. The Klay comment might be slightly more controversial. But
arguable.
Boy, I like his stroke. Ray Allen, maybe he's the third best. I like Klay's as a three-point shooter. I'll take Klay over Reggie.
Catch and shoot, I'll take him over everybody.
Including Steph?
Oh, I thought Steph's in a different category.
Okay, all right, cool.
Come on.
Well, you said everybody. you said the word everybody.
I know.
Okay. Klay, though, is so far, even though Steph Curry's the mayor, I don't know if you've been following social media. Steph Curry's the mayor. Kyle Kuzma was the MVP of the Rising Stars game.
And Klay is Julie McCoy?
But the winner of All-Star Weekend so far is Klay Thompson. I don't know if you've been following the
I have not.
Media.
Clearly not to the level that you have.
Well, I mean, he said a lot of incredible things. Klay has gone from shrinking violet media-wise to literally the best soundbite in the NBA on a regular basis.
Right.
Especially if you're not into dumb BS and silly drama.
BS, that's what it is. Pure, simple BS.
I mean, if you're into that stuff, LeBron is probably great for you. Yes. Kyrie Irving, spectacular. Kevin Durant says some crazy things. But if you just want someone to give you quality sound bites with no strife, Klay Thompson is your guy.
Even if your topic is scaffolding.
It doesn't matter what the topic is. It truly doesn't. That's a great point. From scaffolding to sometimes when you're at the All-Star break, people want to know why you're a star.
God, I don't know what I'm going to go down. I got to think about that. Probably just living my best life.
Somebody asked Klay Thompson, what are you the best at?
Living my best life.
Damn right. And really, what's better than that?
Klay knows how to be Klay better than any of us know how to be any of us.
I've said before on the air, he's living my best life.
Yeah, he's living everyone's best life. Are you kidding me? China Klay, scaffolding Klay, dancing Klay, any Klay you want, I'll take him.
Instagram model yacht Klay.
Klay theism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
So Klay is winning so far, but the Curry family, they are the mayors, and it's kind of cool.
It's the first family of Charlotte, no doubt.
Can I ask you a trolley question?
Sure.
You see Steph Curry jumping in the stands at Davidson, hosting everybody, All-Star Weekend. Any fear he might want to be a Hornet one day?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. He has said, I don't think he could be any more clear talking about wanting to be with the Warriors his entire career. But, and I, the sound's got to be out there somewhere, but it's 3-year-old sound. I know it's 3 years old. I know it was 3 seasons ago. That topic came up. Every time they go to Charlotte, that topic comes up. And he said something to the effect of, I think he was talking about, he was making a baseball analogy, and it was going from a starting pitcher to a closer late in the career, which is what Jeff Samardzija should be doing. He basically suggested, well, maybe, you know, my last year when I'm 42, I'll go shoot threes in Charlotte. That's the closest he's ever come to not giving you the impression he wants to be with the Warriors for life. And I think it was kind of a joking reference. Yeah. But no concern whatsoever of him wanting to go play for Charlotte.
Yeah, me neither. I just wanted to ask a trolley question. 3-point shootout tonight. We just laid out all the excitement surrounding it.
Who are the what? Other shooters? Can we provide that?
I
can look that up.
We can provide that.
You're running the show. I'll look that up.
We could come up with that, I'm sure. That information is out there. But something that has been thrown around a lot the last few years because of the Steph Currys and Klay Thompsons of the world is, and for the record, Devin Booker, Seth, Steph, Danny Green, Joe Harris, Buddy Hield, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Dirk, and Kemba.
Chris Middleton. Kemba, he is the vice mayor of Charlotte.
Think of him more as a scorer than a shooter, but either way.
Mm-hmm.
All those names, I mean, look at Booker, Steph.
Buddy
Hield is
dark
becoming
horse.
A big name. Lillard is a big, I'm just talking about name-wise.
Okay.
Nowitzki's a big name. Here are your dunk contest competitions. Miles Bridges, John Collins, Hamidou Diallo, and Dennis Smith Jr. That was rude, Kawhi. I would say the biggest name there, probably Dennis Smith Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
the biggest name because of like garbage that's been around. Right. Him,
right. He's as well known for fighting with Rick Carlisle as anything.
Mm-hmm.
Is the 3-point contest the marquee event? Should this be the last event of the night? Is it more exciting than the dunk contest now? And we should ask the people this too, because really it's the people that matter. This whole weekend is for the people.
It's scary that you just asked that question, Matt, because I was just going to go there. It is. I think the 3-point contest is the marquee event now.
What is the marquee event of NBA All-Star Weekend now? Or at least Saturday night? 888-957-9570, the phone number. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. You would take the 3-point contest. Like, if you were designing All-Star Saturday night from scratch, you'd put the dunk or the 3-point contest last.
This year, with these groups, if all the contestants are the same, yeah, absolutely. You know what? I mean, what would you do? Because when I see the dunk contest, and the criticism of the dunk contest is a bunch of no names. What happened to the days of Jordan being in the dunk contest and Dominique and Vince Carter? I kind of like that there's some no names. I've discovered a couple players that I still keep an eye on because they were in the dunk contest, and I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then he would throw down some crazy dunks, and I'd be like, okay, I'm going to check this guy out. But because they're no names, I would venture to guess, Matt, that if you asked 10 casual basketball fans on the street, gave them, here's who's participating in this, who's participating in this, I think 90% of the people picked the 3-point contest. That's also a reflection of the way the game's changed, right?
It's a huge reflection of the way the game's changed.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause think about what you just said. Well, back in the day, you had Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. And okay, but when was Jordan's last dunk contest? Like 88, 89?
He went out a champ, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, a long time ago.
But of course it's a long time ago. That's not the point. The point is it's before he ever did anything. He was already a great player.
That's
There's
right.
two separate points here, okay? The first is, he stopped dunk contesting around the time he started winning titles.
Yeah.
Not because you can't win a title if you participate in the dunk contest, but because it's always been young players in the dunk contest.
Yeah. I like that you turned that into a verb, by the way, dunk contesting.
Here's the other thing, though. Michael Jordan, Dominique Wilkins, Vince Carter, other great dunk contest champs. I don't know, but those guys
Spud
certainly. Not a great example. Those guys are the best dunkers in the game and the best players in the game.
Yeah.
Of the best young players in the game right now, there's not a ton of like 6'3 to 6'8 wing dunkers. Who are the best dunk contest guys for the most part?
Right.
And the best dunker, I mean, when Vince Carter was one of the best players in the NBA, he was also the best dunker of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The best players in the NBA today, Giannis maybe, but he's a little big for a dunk contest. LeBron's a great dunker, but you're not getting 34-year-old guys in the dunk contest.
No.
You never were.
No.
Steph Curry, not a dunker. KD certainly can dunk in a lot of situations, but you don't think of him as a guy you want in the dunk contest.
Kind of in the Giannis Larry Nance was a great dunker, and he threw down some mind-blowing dunks in
the
contest.
Very rare that a guy that tall is that interesting of a dunker, though.
Right, but I think he had some points taken off because of his height.
925 says they should have a media members game where guys like Stephen A. Smith play. That would not be fun to watch.
And Guru?
Although I do watch the celebrity game. I've only watched a little bit of it. It's still on my, it's still saved. But I watched the Rising Stars last night, and that was awesome. Answer this question, though. Should the three-point contest be last? What is the marquee event at All-Star Saturday now? Can a dunk contest featuring Miles Bridges, John Collins, Hamidou Diallo, and Dennis Smith Jr. be the marquee event? You want to weigh in? 888-957-9570 is the phone number. Chilton Autobody text line is 95795. And respect to the 510 texter, I failed to mention Jason Richardson, who I would argue is maybe still the second best dunker of all time. He doesn't get the respect because he dunked in the same era as Vince Carter, and Carter just overshadowed everybody. But Jay Rich, man, that dunk contest that he won was very close to as impressive as some of the stuff Carter did. Let's go to Larry in Lafayette. What do you think of All-Star Saturday, Larry?
Well, I actually think that the three-point shot competition has to be last because it's got probably the best player in the NBA in it. And that's Steph Curry. And I don't think you should be putting him on early in the evening and closing with people that are just making a name.
It makes
Fair
a lot
point.
Of sense.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes
Good
a lot
point.
Of sense. And I would say this, because I am still a dunk contest guy, and thanks for the call, Larry. I still love the dunk contest.
Me too.
I still think more often than not, actually watching those two things, the dunk contest is a better event, more fun, even with Hamidou Diallo and Miles Bridges as my favorites, I like the dunk contest more most years.
Me too.
But if I'm designing this event, there's no way anybody's turning off the TV when the three-point shootout featuring Steph Curry, Seth Curry, Devin Booker, Dirk Nowitzki, Damian Lillard, and probably Del Curry is still to come. Whereas before it happens, I expect this dunk contest to be pretty lit. Dennis Smith Jr., Miles Bridges, Hamidou Diallo, all spectacular, slightly smaller dunkers. John Collins, in that game last night, the Rising Stars game, had some ridiculous dunks that got me very excited about what he can do. Also, Kings fans, if you haven't, find yourself a DVR'd version of the Rising Stars challenge and throw it on. Man, are the Kings exciting. And
right?
That future is just... I'm not sure if I could have any team in the NBA with no shot at winning right now. Just no shot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might pick the Kings. If I could be any NBA team that has no chance of winning the 2019 title, it might be the Kings.
You know, last year at about this time, I remember the question coming up on the air. I forget exactly who I was with, probably Guru, but it was, okay, there is a team out there. There's going to come a year when the Warriors are not the prohibitive favorites to win the title, right? I think it's fair to say this year they were, last year they were, the year before that they were. There's going to come a day when they're not the prohibitive favorites. And the question was, what team is going to step into that role when the Warriors decide they're done with being prohibitive favorites? And I got a lot of Suns was the answer. I got some Pelicans as an answer. I did not get any Sacramento Kings, but right now, I think some people, sounds like you, would pick the Kings. I love watching the Kings rivalry on. It's
I'll
great.
Tell you what, there's it's always, I feel a little bad for Marvin Bagley, because I think there's a real good chance people always talk about how anyone who didn't draft Luka should have.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I think I'd take Bagley over anybody else in that draft. He is doing things I did not expect he'd do this quickly. He is a much more polished, low post guy than I expected.
Was he one and done?
Yes. His athleticism is tremendous. The Mavs, Luke from SLZ says the Mavs are a young roster you might pick, and I that's certainly a valid choice.
Well, now that they got Porzingis, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. Luka and Porzingis is a great start. I actually think the Kings again, Luka's probably better, going to have a better career probably than anyone on the Kings, but I'm not 100% confident in that.
Mm-hmm.
And Porzingis is a 7'3" guy with knee problems, so there's some risk there. And then past those two guys, I'm not sure a single player on the roster is part of their future.
Right, I agree.
What's appealing about the Kings is they've got the two. Because to me, I don't know if I'd say Fox and Bagley is just as good as Luka and Porzingis, but it's darn good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a good starting twosome. And then as you go down that roster, you got Bogdanovich, who's young and probably a part of the future. You've got Harry Giles, who's young and good and probably a part of the future. Buddy Hield, who's young and having a breakout season and could be part of the future. So that's the thing, is to me, there's more there. And to the texter who's asking, yeah, as of now, from what I've seen, I like Ayton too, but I would take Bagley over Ayton moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's got the chance to be able to do more. Ayton has a chance to be one of the best straight-up centers in the league. Bagley has a chance to play 3 through 5, defend multiple positions at an elite level.
So when you say
take you off the dribble and in the post, and maybe even stretch out his jumper a little bit too, I love what I've said. And before the season, I had Ayton over Bagley. So I've changed my mind on that.
But when you're talking about Ayton, you're talking about the prototypical center, right? The back-to-the-basket center. Because
right.
There's
he has a jumper. Ayton has a
You think he'll ever be able to get out there beyond the arc?
Ayton?
Uh-huh.
He isn't yet, but
right.
Maybe. He has a legit 15-footer. He
right.
Uses that.
And look no further than Marc Gasol for an example of somebody who can just, poof, you're a three-point shooter.
Brook Lopez. I might even take Jaren Jackson over DeAndre Ayton right now just because his defense is so much better. Part of the problem with Ayton is he does not play defense yet. But again, these guys are all 19.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. I'm just saying I've been very impressed with Marvin Bagley, and I think Luka has stolen the storylines. But if you just look at the way Bagley has been playing, especially over the last month or so, let me pull up his split stats real quick. Okay, so he missed time in December, but just as an example, in the month of November, Marvin Bagley, 13 points on 49.5% shooting, 69% free throws, 6.6 rebounds, and a block a game. Over January and February, well, let's just look at February. It's only 6 games, but 16 points, 9 rebounds, a block. He's shooting 80% from the line. He's shooting 50% from the field. It's a heck of a player, and he's 19. And just when I watch it, I see more in the post than I expected. Just more polish in general than I expected. Because he's such a raw athlete. Watching them in college, you saw a lot more skill level from Ayton than from Bagley. He was just dominating physically. So all I'm saying is he's more skilled as a 19-year-old rookie than I expected.
He definitely came out as a somewhat polished prospect.
And there was a play in that game last night where someone threw a bad lead pass to De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running towards the baseline, about to run out of bounds, caught the ball near his head, threw it two-handed, hard bounce, and on a bounce, bounced it up to Bagley for an alley-oop. And it was just like this moment
really?
Of, oh my God, there's the future of the Kings, and it is awesome. We got distracted into me projecting the future of the Kings. This is the level of basketball nerditry I suffer from.
You don't have to apologize for that, Matt. Not with me.
But this started with me talking about how even though I think the three-point contest has the better talent, I usually think the dunk contest is still a better event. I really do. And really, the last few years, there was a stretch where
you know why?
Nobody was in it, and it also sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are not big names, but neither of the last few years. I mean, when Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon battled, and that was one of the top five dunk contests of all time.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Nobody cared about who they were coming in other than highlights.
That's what I was talking about specifically when I said I've discovered a couple of players that were no names through the dunk contest. But humor me here.
Okay.
Your interest, the draw for you and for a lot of people to the dunk contest, as opposed to the three-point contest, is that you can hit three-pointers. You've made three-pointers.
You mean me?
Yes, you, Matt Kolsky. You've made three-pointers. You've made two, three, five, seven in a row.
Even from NBA range, yeah.
Yeah, but you haven't dunked.
I don't know about seven in a row from NBA. Yeah. I have dunked.
You have dunked?
Yeah, not very many
times. Okay, but the majority
and
of...
And not impressively, but
I have. The majority of casual fans can't dunk and have never dunked, and that is a fantasy. That's why the dunk contest is almost like fantasy land. The three-point contest, every bit as amazing to me, the skill, but there are fewer dunkers than there are three-point shooters in the world.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's actually true. I think that's just we all, fans all believe it's true because
mm-hmm.
we have unrealistic belief in our own three-point shooting. Like, really?
But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. I'm just saying, really, in the real world, Joe Blow is just as far away a three-point shooter from Steph Curry as he is a dunker from Miles Bridges,
right.
I assure you. But yeah, we feel like, heck, if I had just practiced more, mm-hmm. I could have been Steph Curry.
Right.
We
and,
feel that way.
And that Joe Blow that you're talking about?
That's you?
Sure. He has the potential to make the three-point. It's possible for him to make three-pointers. It's impossible for him to dunk. He will never dunk. He will never get close to dunking. He will never... It's not even in his dreams because he knows how unrealistic it is. Or she. It's just for the vast majority of basketball fans, a dunk is a feeling they'll never have.
Yeah.
And so
although
the vicariousness, living vicariously, is... a bigger draw to the dunk contest than three-point.
I'll tell you this about dunking. As someone who has dunked, I would say on a 10-foot rim, I've dunked like seven times in my life.
Hugely impressed with that. How tall are you?
5'11 on a good day.
Dude, that's hops.
To be clear.
Kudos to you.
To be clear. I've dunked 5 to 7 times in my life on a 10-foot rim. Never, obviously, during any sort of basketball game. Only... with an extended run-up that did not involve dribbling, really wedging the ball into my hand and ever so slightly squeaking it over the front of the rim. And I would just tell you, as someone who has done that 5 to 7 times, it feels a million times better
than hitting a
to
three.
Throw down a 360 on an 8-foot rim. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because I worked hard. This is freshman year of college. And the summer before my freshman year of college, not like I was playing hoop at college at all. I was a pickup player, and I trained specifically to dunk. Ankle weights, stairs, all summer. I'm going to dunk a basketball. Because I was always a jumper. For a 5'11 Jewish guy, I've always been a jumper.
Did you get the shoes that don't really have a heel?
Those were too expensive.
Oh, my God.
But I had ankle weights, and I was running stairs every day. I was doing leg lifts. I was like... this is it. Peak athleticism, 18 years old. I'm gonna dunk. Because I was without that, I could squeeze a tennis ball over the rim.
Dude, you're under 6 feet, and
yeah.
You've dunked in your life. That's hugely impressive.
And I'm telling you.
I don't care how bad they were. How
I'm telling
they were.
You, it felt a million times better to throw down a monster on an 8-foot rim.
Yeah,
The satisfaction of knowing I had eked a basketball over 10 feet wasn't that great.
No?
Frankly, not worth the summer of training.
Well, compared to the 360 on the 8.5-foot hoop.
There's no bragging rights from that now.
No, there isn't.
Now I'm just a 37-year-old guy who can touch the net. And I have no bragging rights from being a guy who three to seven times eked it over the front of the rim.
Can you put a tennis ball down
before I turned
still?
20? No, now, no.
No?
Okay. 3 years ago, I could. 3 years ago, I could still get a tennis ball in. Now I could. I don't know if I could even touch the rim today. I'm carrying a lot of weight, and I do not exercise.
I still just, you've reached a new level I've always had great respect for you. I have even more now that I know that you're an under 6 foot dunker.
We just went 3 minutes over so I could talk about those 7 times I dunked. I apologize to the people. We return to real basketball players after this. Sam Amick at the top of the hour. It's All-Star Weekend. Everybody's in Charlotte. We're stuck in the Bay, but it doesn't mean we can't have fun. Matt Kolsky and Michael Urban on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Kolsky and Urban.
I just can't. I know this is not the original song, but now I'm hearing the original song in my head. And that pretty much ruins the rest of the show. Talking a little All-Star break in the NBA. The phone number, 888-957-9570. The Chilton Auto Body text line is 95795. Throwing it out to people, are you more excited about the three-point contest or the dunk contest? And I think talking about just the issue of people are attracted to the three-point shooting because it feels more realistic. 650 texter saying the dunk contest has greater physical requirements. 510 texter, it's just objectively true that more people can make a three than dunk. All true.
Mm-hmm.
All true. I think that does increase the appeal, but I maintain at the end of most All-Star Saturday nights, the more fun event to watch was the dunk contest most of the time.
More likely to generate water cooler buzz for sure.
Yeah, because even if Steph and Seth have a great battle and go head-to-head, you're still just watching one guy shoot a basketball at a hoop and make some and miss some.
Right.
I mean, that's what the three-point contest is.
Did they change the dunk contest rule that allows you to miss without penalty?
Yeah, they changed those rules.
I hate that.
A lot.
If you miss a dunk, sorry, guy. Next up.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of a second attempt, but
no more than two.
Yeah, right. I mean, the problem is the optics, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I understand it might take multiple chances, and that should be fine, but just in the real world, when we watch you miss it a couple times, it kind of ruins
it. Yeah, totally.
650 says, speculate how many people at the station have ever dunked a basketball. Think on that.
On air? On air personalities?
Yeah, let's start with, well, first of all, off air, other than the intern who plays at SF State and is like 6'10", who do you think has ever dunked off air?
Gabe Osler, perhaps.
No chance.
No?
I played basketball with Gabe Osler.
Wow, he's a college swimmer.
He's not a basketball athlete.
Okay. That's a good way to put
it. He's a solid athlete. He's in great shape. He's not terrible at basketball. I'm sure he's never dunked.
So then my answer would be nobody. But
I don't think there's anybody.
But on air.
On air, I think there might be. There's some big dudes
guru
on the air here. People would not expect me. But again, like, saying like, oh, Kolsky could dunk. There was not like a time where I might dunk if we were playing basketball.
Why are you downplaying this?
Because,
you dunked.
Sure.
More than once.
Yes.
You were a dunker then.
No. I have dunked. I was never a dunker. That's the difference. That's exactly
the
difference.
But when Michael Jordan shows up at your gym for some strange reason and gathers everyone around and said, anybody here who can dunk, raise your hand, you'd get to raise your hand.
For like a 2 month period at age 18, yes.
Doesn't matter. You're
a
dunker.
No, believe me, I'm proud of that.
You should be. I think I'm more proud about it than you are, though.
Maybe, but I just want to make clear I'm not, like, trying to sell myself as, you know, if things had broken differently, I could have been Bobby Sura. That's not what I'm saying here.
Right.
Let's go to
nice
George name. In Half Moon Bay. Dunk contest or three-point contest, sir?
Hi. This is my first time calling you guys.
Welcome.
All right, George. What's up, man?
Get right to it. 2 points. First of all, I agree that the three-point contest should be at the end. It is the highlight, and there was a gentleman on earlier that gave the best reason why, because Steph is the best player in the NBA, and people want to see it. Secondly, you guys, you hit a nail, and then you just kind of bounced off.
Ah, that happens.
Who wouldn't want to see an old-timers dunk contest? Who wouldn't want to see Michael Jordan or Hakeem Olajuwon or maybe the round mound of rebound Charles Barkley.
No way.
I want to see that.
No way.
Remember when they
dunk.
Had the old guys with a, with an actual game and he had torn hammies left and right?
No chance Chuck can still dunk. Thanks for the call, George. I would enjoy the comedy of that.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't think guys would be afraid of getting hurt and, more importantly, embarrassing themselves. Mm-hmm. You think Michael Jordan wants you to see him try to dunk now?
No way in hell.
No, he does not. We're about 3 minutes from welcoming the one and only Sam Amick to the program.
He'll get into Kings all you want.
But we'll talk about that since my Kings love was expressed today.
I like it. NorCal.
But let's answer the texter's question. Speculate how many people at the station have ever dunked a basketball. Let's go down the list. So,
Joe Lone
morning
Dibs,
show?
None.
I'm saying none. Although Lowe, obviously, professional athlete, that's a lot of weight to carry a long distance up to the rim. Because he's not especially tall.
Not a basketball athlete.
I wouldn't doubt his leaping ability with the size of his legs. But, again, a lot of upper body weight to carry, and he's not that tall. Lowe, no, or Dibs, no way. Joe, almost definitely no. So Steiny and Guru, I'd say, could have been 2 for 2. I bet Steiny dunked in his day. Steiny's a legit baller. By media standards.
Yes, he is a very good pickup player from what I've heard. I've shot around with him once or twice. Got a great stroke.
And
I'd be surprised to hear that he
height.
Was a dunker.
6'1", 6'2", probably.
Is he?
He's taller than me.
Okay.
I would say
I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he has a similar story that you do. Like,
yeah.
Once upon a time when
I'd
I was really young.
At the very least, he has a similar story to me.
Okay.
Dunking
so
wise.
He and Guru.
Like, there was a time I could just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling Steiny was a better athlete than me. Guru has said he can dunk.
I believe him. I do. Did you see him throw out the first pitch?
No, but he is a big dude. And he's a decent athlete.
And dude, cold, without warm-ups, he hopped up on the mound, and they had him gunned in the 80-mile-an-hour range, and he threw a strike.
I don't know
That's
if
an
I,
athlete.
I would not throw a strike. I do think I would throw a catchable ball from the mound, but 80's a lot. I don't know if I could juice it up to 80. Certainly not without a couple months of warming the old
I could
right
go
arm
up there and fully warmed up.
You're
and,
a real pitcher, though.
I'd go 9 for 10 with strikes, but I'm not going to be in 80 miles an hour, right?
No.
Not right now. No.
Yeah, Guru, you got a few years on Guru, though.
Mm-hmm.
What was your, where'd you max out in your day?
Speed?
Yeah.
91.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, but I was 17 years old, and by the time I was 20, I was 83.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.